All right, so we're diving into the Book of James, and you all wanted to explore faith and works, right? It's a
Yeah,
big topic.
it is.
So we're going to be checking out this lecture by Dr. David Bauer, who's a scholar of inductive Bible study. Now, his take on James, especially when it comes to justification, might really surprise you.
Oh yeah. I
I
think
mean,
a lot of people listening, they've probably heard a lot about James and justification, and it's easy to kind of fall into familiar patterns, right?
right,
For
yeah.
thinking about it. But Dr. Bauer is really encouraging us to approach the text with fresh eyes. Let the scriptures speak for themselves.
Yeah, an inductive Bible study, for anyone who's not familiar with it, it's really about observing what the text actually says before we jump into interpretations. It's like being a detective,
Yes.
piecing together the clues to figure out what the author's original intent was.
Exactly. And when we apply this approach to James, we uncover some really, really intriguing nuances. Like, take for example the way he uses Abraham and Rahab
Oh, yeah.
to illustrate this point about faith and works.
That's interesting. So you've got Abraham, the father of faith,
Right.
and then you've got Rahab, a pagan prostitute.
A very unlikely pair.
Yeah. Both held up as examples. What is the common thread that James sees between the two of them?
Well, he uses this seemingly odd pairing to really drive home the point that faith without works is barren. He's arguing that true faith isn't just a mental ascent, it's demonstrated through action.
I'm really curious about this word barren, though. It seems like there's more to it than just saying, hey, your faith needs to be active.
Yeah, you're right to pick up on that.
Huh.
Dr. Bauer highlights how barrenness connects to the Old Testament concept of covenant and fruitfulness.
Oh, interesting.
So in essence, James is saying that a lack of good works is like a sign of being outside of God's covenant, like a state of spiritual unfruitfulness.
So it's not just about being a good person, it's about reflecting God's character
Right.
and living in alignment with his promises.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Now this kind of leads us to a point that often causes a lot of discussion, and that's James's view on justification.
Right. There's that apparent tension between Paul and James, when it comes to when Abraham was justified. Paul points to the moment Abraham believed, but James focuses on the binding of Isaac. How does Dr. Bauer kind of reconcile these two viewpoints?
Well, it's important to remember that James isn't setting out to contradict Paul. Dr. Bauer suggests that James is emphasizing a different aspect of justification. So while Paul is highlighting the inward reality of being declared righteous by God, James is zeroing in on the outward evidence of that inward transformation.
So it's not an either, they're both looking at the same concept, but from different angles.
Precisely.
Okay.
And this is where it gets really thought-provoking,
Yeah.
because if James is right, does that mean there's no such thing as a dormant faith? Does God's declaration of righteousness always lead to visible changes in a person's life?
That's a powerful question to consider. It really challenges the idea that faith is a purely private matter. James seems to be suggesting that true faith will inevitably spill over into actions. It'll demonstrate a genuine change of heart.
Yeah, I think that's one of the key takeaways from this first part of Dr. Bauer's lecture.
Yeah.
He's really pushing us to think about the implications of James's words and how they challenge us to examine our own lives and the genuineness of our faith. And this brings us to another passage in James that often causes a lot of debate, and that's his statement that we are saved not by faith alone. This seems to directly challenge the Protestant emphasis on faith alone. As the sole basis for salvation.
Yeah, I can see how that would cause some confusion,
Yeah.
especially for those, coming from a Protestant background. How does Dr. Bauer, how does he address this seemingly controversial statement?
Well, first, it's crucial to clarify that Paul himself never uses that exact phrase, faith alone. This phrasing appears in some translations, but it's not a direct quote from Paul's letters.
So it's possible that the idea of faith alone has been maybe unintentionally oversimplified or even misconstrued over the centuries.
That's precisely what Dr. Bauer argues. He believes that James is addressing a misunderstanding of Paul's teachings, a faith that's reduced to mere intellectual agreement without any impact on how we live.
So rather than contradicting Paul, James is actually guarding against a distorted view of faith, one that that fails to recognize that essential connection between belief and action.
Exactly. And James provides concrete examples of what this looks like in practice. For instance, he condemns showing favoritism to the rich.
Yeah.
You know, he sees this as a clear violation of God's will and a sign of a deficient faith.
That's such a relevant example even today. You know, it's easy to talk about loving our neighbors, but do our actions actually reflect that love, especially when interacting with those from, you know, different social or economic backgrounds?
Yeah, James certainly challenges us to examine our hearts and motivations. Now let's kind of shift gears for a moment and consider how James uses the example of Rahab to further illustrate his point. Remember, Rahab was a pagan prostitute who risked her life to hide the Israelite spies.
Right. Her actions not only saved her life, but also played a key role in the Israelites' victory. It's fascinating that even Hebrews 11, which is often called the Hall of Faith, includes Rahab among its heroes.
Yeah, that's a great observation. It really underscores the idea that true faith, regardless of one's background, will manifest in actions that align with God's purposes.
It seems like James is building a compelling case for the inseparability of faith and works. He uses these diverse examples from Abraham to Rahab to highlight this vital connection.
Absolutely. And he drives his point home with this vivid analogy, comparing faith without works to a body without a spirit, like a lifeless and incomplete entity.
That's a powerful image. A body without breath, without animation, it's essentially dead. Is there a deeper significance to this analogy, especially for James's, you know, original audience?
Yeah, you're right to point that out. Dr. Bauer explains that for a Jewish audience, the idea of a disembodied spirit would have been quite disturbing, you know, mm-hmm. even repulsive. It went against their understanding of the wholeness of a person. So this further emphasizes the unnatural and incomplete nature of a faith that's devoid of action.
So it's not just a matter of good works being a nice addition to faith. James is presenting them as absolutely essential, as integral to true faith, as a beating heart is to a living body.
Precisely. Yeah. Now, I know the concept of works can sometimes trigger, you know, concerns about legalism or the idea that we have to earn our salvation. Mm-hmm. How do you think Dr. Bauer addresses this potential misunderstanding?
Well, based on what we've discussed so far, I imagine Dr. Bauer would emphasize that James isn't advocating for a system of rule following or trying to earn God's favor through our efforts. He's not contradicting the message of grace that permeates the New Testament.
You're right on track. Dr. Bauer points out that when Paul speaks negatively about works, he's typically referring to attempts to earn salvation through our own merit apart from Christ.
So it's not about the works themselves, but the motivation behind them. It's about understanding that true saving faith rooted in God's grace will naturally produce good works as a result of our transformed hearts.
Exactly. It's about allowing our faith to shape our actions and inform how we interact with the world around us.
Yeah. This is really making me think about the difference between, you know, doing things for God and doing things from a heart changed by God. It's a subtle but profound distinction. Yeah, it really challenges me to consider what fruit my own faith is bearing. This deep dive into James has been incredibly insightful. It's definitely shifted my perspective on this whole faith and works discussion.
Yeah, it's fascinating how James, even though his letter is relatively short, manages to pack in so right. much depth and challenge us to think deeply about how we live out our faith.
Absolutely. And speaking of challenges, I think one of the biggest hurdles for many people is figuring out what good works actually look like in everyday life. Is there a specific list that James provides, or is it more about a general posture of the heart?
That's a great question. And Dr. Bauer, he emphasizes that James isn't even giving us this rigid checklist. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not saying do these five things and you're good to go. Remember, James is writing to a Jewish Christian community deeply familiar with the Old Testament law.
So he's not adding a new set of rules on top of the existing law.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Instead, he's pointing to the heart transformation that should result from genuine faith in Christ. And this transformation will naturally lead to actions that, that reflect God's character and love.
So it's less about outward conformity and more about an inward alignment with God's will, which then manifests in how we live, how we treat others, how we engage with the world around us.
Precisely. And this is where the concept of works takes on a much, much broader meaning. It's not just about attending church or volunteering. It's about every aspect of our lives, our relationships, our work, how we use our resources, how we respond to injustice.
Mm, that's a much more holistic and integrated view of works than I think many people might initially assume. It's not about compartmentalizing our faith, but about letting it permeate every facet of who we are and how we live.
That's the beauty of James's message. It's both challenging and liberating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it pushes us to move beyond superficial expressions of faith and embrace a life of genuine active love.
This has been such an eye-opening conversation. I feel like I've gained a much deeper understanding of James's message and how it applies to my own life.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure exploring these ideas with you. And as you continue to delve into the book of James, I encourage you to keep wrestling with these concepts and allow them to shape your own walk of faith.
That's great advice. And to all our listeners out there, I hope this deep dive has sparked some new insights and challenged you to consider how your own faith is being put into action. Until next time, keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.